Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are into our third week of Easter, and the bright light of the empty tomb has not faded one bit. The celebration continues. Our risen Savior has triumphed over sin, death, and the devil. He's risen, he's alive, and he's on the move. All the going that was going on Easter morning is still happening. Jesus is on the move, and he has us on the move as well. We're on the move as we gather here as his church, his body, hearing his word and receiving his gifts. And then, in less than an hour, Jesus will send us back out into the world to bring his message of eternal life and salvation to every nation. Yes, all the Easter activity is not slowed down one bit. But today is not only an ongoing celebration of Easter, it is also Mother's Day, the one day a year we set aside to honor the women who raised us. Mom, the one who fed us, washed us, taught us, led us, protected us, and above all, loved us. If Mother's Day is about anything, it is about honoring the basic fundamentals of motherhood: new life, tender care, proper upbringing, guidance, nurturing, feeding. Mother's Day is about love. And that's actually a lot like Easter, if you think about it, because Easter is all about love, too. And if anyone can outdo Mother when it comes to love, it's our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our new, resurrected, and eternal life comes only through Christ's death and resurrection. Tender care, proper upbringing, guidance, they're all given to us through the living Word of God, by means of his Holy Spirit. And of course, we are nurtured and fed with his Holy Supper. And all of this takes place within Christ's resurrected earthly body, his church, of which he is the head. So like Mother's Day, you see, Easter is all about love. But we're talking about God's love, a love that has no fault or weakness. No, unlike the earthly love of mothers who may, and I know I'm skating on thin ice here, who may make a mistake from time to time, God's love is perfect. God's love does not wear thin, nor does his ongoing work and care ever slow down. We see this in today's gospel. It takes place the very afternoon of Easter. And as you can see, Jesus is going. Two of his disciples, who were not of the 12, but still close followers of Jesus, were traveling the 7 miles from Jerusalem to the suburb of Emmaus. It seems that they were overwhelmed by all the events of the past 3 days. And like many people even now, they struggled to make sense of, as they say, these things that had happened. As they were walking and discussing the events, Jesus, and these are words that I really love, Jesus draws near. Without their invitation, through no work, no effort of their own, Jesus enters into the picture. And he asks them, "What is this conversation that you are holding?" Quite simply, he asks, "What are you guys talking about?" And the two disciples answer with a very straightforward, very accurate accounting of the passion events. They have all the details correct, but they couldn't wrap their heads around what it all meant. This is made obvious in verse 21. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They thought, like the Pharisees and the soldiers, that Jesus' death on the cross was his end, that it was all over, and that there was to be no victory. And like Thomas from last week, they just could not believe the stories of the women and the other disciples. They could not believe that Jesus was actually alive. Here is where Jesus breaks in and he sets them straight. And he does this with some harsh words. "O foolish ones," he says, "and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So Jesus puts an end to the doubts and the questions. He does it firmly and with no uncertain words. He calls them fools for not believing the things that had been written about him. And he lets them know that death, yes, painful, humiliating death on a cross, was the only way for Christ to win salvation. But he doesn't leave it at that. No, Jesus has work to do. He needs to establish his church, he needs to build it, and he needs to train his disciples properly. So, and this is another one of my favorite parts, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus reprimands the two travelers for their unwillingness to believe. But then, like a good parent, and because he loves them so very much, Jesus teaches and instructs them. And how amazing must that teaching have been? To walk with Jesus and have him explain how all of Scripture, not just the Gospels, the Old Testament too, is all about him. It must have been inspiring because even after the 2 or 3 hour walk, the two disciples urge him strongly to stay. He had made their hearts burn with the story of mankind's salvation, of God's eternal plan to set things right and to bring fallen humanity back to where it needs to be, with him, in glory, for all eternity. So to these two downcast followers of Jesus, they heard the very things their ears needed to hear. All was not lost. Death was not the end of their Messiah. He had to die. It was necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness, to pay the penalty for sin, and to set mankind free. It's obvious they wanted to hear more because they asked this traveling teacher to remain. Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. Caught up in the living word of God, they begged to hear more. So Jesus accepts their invitation, and in they go, to share one of the most intimate forms of fellowship we humans enjoy, a good meal together, table fellowship. The sharing of a meal has always been how people celebrate special events, from birthdays and baptisms to funerals, and I'm going to guess even today on Mother's Day. When we break bread together, we bond ourselves to those around the table with us. We are united with them. We are family. But while Mom may be a great cook and she may set a fantastic table, Jesus does it better. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Does that sound familiar? It should. These words mirror the ones Jesus used when he instituted the Lord's Supper. They're also used in Acts 2 when Luke describes the foundation of the early church, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. It was then, at the breaking of the bread, around the table, in fellowship with him, when their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now their eyes could see, and not by any genius thought of their own, not by any of their own deep understanding, but by the power of Christ, they were able to recognize him. It was Jesus himself there, alive and in their midst, sharing himself with them, their very own Jesus, teaching them, guiding them, correcting them, preparing them, and feeding them, and making their hearts burn. And then he faded from their sight. It may seem strange that he would be hidden from them so suddenly, but then again, Jesus doesn't do things the way we would. He had other things to do. He had to get going. Also, Jesus no longer needed to be there in front of the two Emmaus disciples. They already knew he was alive. They believed. They had been taught, guided, corrected, prepared, blessed, and fed. Like Thomas last week, they had seen enough. They were good. And now, did these two newly enlightened followers of Jesus just sit back after their meal and read the paper? No, they got going. And they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. That's 7 miles, remember? Yes, there would be no relaxing. They immediately got back on the road to share the story of the risen Christ. So today, mothers all over this country will be honored for their tireless work of giving life, teaching, guiding, correcting, nurturing, and feeding. And that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. But let's not lose sight of the one, perhaps the only one, who can outdo Mom when it comes to these things. It is Jesus. It is Jesus who gives us our new and eternal life. And it is Jesus who teaches, guides, and corrects us by his holy word. It is Jesus who nurtures and feeds us in his holy sacraments. And he does this through his living and active earthly body, the church. Every Sunday, we gather as part of that body, and we get to share in the Emmaus Road experience ourselves. We gather as his disciples, and like those two disciples that first Easter afternoon, we may be busy traveling our path, and things may seem a bit uncertain. But here, at church, Jesus draws near. He draws near with his holy word, read, preached, and sung. He teaches with liturgy, creeds, sermons, and Bible study. He guides us with law and gospel, along with caring brothers and sisters and pastors. And of course, he feeds us with his holy supper, in which we receive his very body and blood. Here, in this place, and wherever people gather around his word and sacraments, Christ, by means of his Holy Spirit, lights the fire of faith. He lights it in our hearts and he makes them burn. And then with those burning hearts, we get back on the road, back on our paths to share the Easter news that Christ is risen. He's paid the price for our sins and has conquered death and the darkness of Satan. So sorry, moms. Yes, it is Mother's Day, but it is above all still the Lord's Day. And he's got you beat. He's the only one I can think of who can give new life, guide, teach, comfort, nurture, and feed his children better than you can. But somehow I don't think you'll mind letting him win. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. At this point, we ask you to fill out the red pew pad folders towards the edges of our pews as the ushers come forward for the gathering of the offering.
and repair the damage that our sin has caused within our families, our communities, our church, and ourselves, and strengthen us in faith and life, that our wholeness may be in you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy and merciful God, sent by your Holy Spirit, your Son entered the wilderness to be tempted in every way as we are, to overcome temptation in our created human flesh, and yet to remain without sin. By the same Spirit, give us strength in every time of temptation, that through the word of Christ, his victory may bear fruit in our flesh and in our lives. Grant us his strength in body, mind, and spirit, that we may resist temptation and by your grace overcome them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you grant us life through our parents, and you set children in families. Please be pleased to bless our mothers, especially on this Mother's Day. Help them recognize the holy office you have entrusted to them, and strengthen them to serve faithfully and well within it. Grant that their motherly service may not be burdensome, but rather joyful and glad. Bless all women who do not have children, and those whose children are estranged from them, that their hope and confidence may ever remain in you, in whom true joy is found. Give us love, loving hearts that freely give thanks for our mothers, that heartily forgive them where they have failed and fallen short, that willingly obey them, and that gladly honor them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, Heavenly Father, we commit our petitions, intercessions, and prayers, together with all that we are and all that we can, and all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord.
Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when
Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Given to you for the forgiveness of sin, the body of Christ.
For you.
The true blood of Christ. Given to you for the forgiveness of sin.
The true blood of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ given for you.
Now depart in his peace with his joy. Amen. preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.